Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Welcome to this apparently truly last episode of Irate Tireless Minority, at least on Blog Talk Radio, at least for now. And I'm about ready for a vacation. So, because I figure, you know, taking time off for health issues doesn't really count as a vacation because then I still have to organize other people to do the show for me. So, today's show is entitled So Much Nonsense, So Little Time. And that's because there is so much nonsense out there and so little time to talk about it or think about it, and so few people think about it. At least that's how it feels to me today. I was going to entitle it Like Adults, because what we need to do is start acting like adults, which is what the American electorate has not been doing for, oh, I'd say the last half century at least, and probably since the 60s when the children decided that all tradition is just that, it's just phooey, it's just hooey, we don't have to do things because it's tradition or because that's the way our parents did it, they're just a bunch of prudes who never ever want to have any fun, and we want to have fun, so we're going to do things the way we like them. And hello, Bigfoot, and Vito Esposito's made it into the chat room as well. And Kel's probably going to slap me upside the head if she ever meets me for not telling her about these last two shows. But that's the way it goes. Anyway, those children of the 60s rejected tradition, and that includes mostly traditional Christianity, because that is what convicts people of their bad behavior, that they need to do something different and be something different and have a different worldview, because it says killing babies is not okay. But when people want babies to be killed for convenience sake or because they didn't want to have a child or for whatever other reason, to sacrifice to Baal, you know, like in the Bible, then they are convicted by knowing that there is a large group of people out there who says, that's bad, you should not be killing babies. You should not be doing drugs, because reality is quite frankly hard enough, which is one of the reasons I was never interested when my friends offered me the opportunity growing up. And yes, I was raised in a very liberal place, so no, I did not call the police on them or tell their parents or nothing, because that would break the code. And I am a recovering liberal today, but a recovering conservative, recovering from being raised liberal. But the point was, I figured I had enough trouble in my life without adding that to it. And I did have trouble. I had a kind of rough childhood. Parents got divorced and broken home and all that nonsense, and I've talked about that on other shows, so I'm not going into it here. But I think that's part of what's going on and what went on in the 60s is that this generation doesn't think they have any dragons to fight. They don't think there's any virtue in holding to those traditions. They have discarded them wholesale, thrown out the baby with the bathwater, as it were. And I was listening to a video, well, I should be watching a video, but I was listening to it because I often do, that Secure Freedom had put up on YouTube, and they had allowed Ken Abramowitz at SaveTheWest.com to take their channel for a bit, and he did a few videos. And in one of them, he said, we can't just go around killing people who disagree with us. And I heard that, and I immediately thought, yes, we can. That is how the world has done it, how communities have done it in the history of the world. You go around killing people who disagree with you. That land should be mine. I disagree because I'm living on it and farming it. Well, too bad for you then. You're gone. Or, no, I disagree because I'm living here and I don't want you coming in, so you're gone. That's how people have settled major, major disputes throughout history. So to hear somebody, an older gentleman, saying, we can't just go around killing people who disagree with us, when that is clearly not the truth, it sort of makes me feel good and sad at the same time. It makes me feel good because we have come to a place, at least in the Western world, where such an idea, such a concept of killing people who disagree with you is unthinkable. It's horrible. It's awful. It's so unthinkable that we put it out there as a matter of course. Of course you can't just kill everybody who disagrees with you. But it makes me sad because if it's unthinkable, then you're not prepared for it. And I don't know about the rest of America, but I feel like I have been being manipulated forever. Forever by the media and the politicians. This last election, Trump or Hillary? Really, really, we needed Mr. Trump because he gets, the media have to give him coverage. And what they have been doing is simply ignoring the candidates they don't like, and then they don't get any coverage, and they think that that means that they're affecting the outcome of the election. But I got news for them. I think the outcome of this election would have been the same whether they paid attention to the candidate or not, because people are fed up with being lied to. There comes a point where survival depends on knowing the truth. And we're there, and we don't know the truth. I feel like we're all part of some big social experiment, and I'm sick of it. Well and truly sick of it. And I hope you are too. And one of the, you know, and it's hard to tell when you're being manipulated sometimes unless you've had it shoved down your throat forever and you've analyzed and thought about it and come out of it. And so you get a little warning bell, or in my case, a great big warning bell every time you're manipulated. Well, maybe not every time, because sometimes manipulation is good. Salesmanship is manipulation. Nobody cavils at that, as long as they're relatively honest. We expect to be a little bit manipulated by a salesperson. That's their job. And it's not a bad job. It's not evil for them to try and sell us something. They're trying to sell us something that they think will make our lives better and be worth whatever we're exchanging for it. But for manipulation, there's an article called, it's at Mike Network Inc., MIC.com, and the title is The Fight at Standing Rock Isn't Over, But Vital Support and the Media Are Packing Up. Now, I haven't talked about this thing at Standing Rock because it's just so very complicated. It really is. There's a lot of stuff going on there. There's a lot of history going into that, and quite frankly, there's so much else going on. I said, not my monkeys, not my zoo. I don't have to deal with that. I'm not going to. Other people are doing it. But one of the, and if you're paying attention and following it, you will know that the Army Corps of Engineers just denied permission for the pipeline to go through. And so that was kind of declared a victory of sorts. But this article is saying, no, it's not. That pipeline's still going to go through. It's just going to take a little while, wait for the new administration to come in, blah, blah, blah. We have the right to do this. The Army Corps of Engineers doesn't have the last word on this. But, you know, the media and a lot of people are packing up and going home. And one of the paragraphs or sections, not a paragraph, is titled Using Hope as a Weapon. And it says, now many of the Lakota Sioux and the Standing Rock Resistance allies believe that all of the fanfare around the declared victory will just be another attempted deterrent, but this time using the illusion of success to convince the Sioux that their job is done and that they can head home. They're just making it look like they're going to get out of here so people leave and we lose our numbers, Broughton said. It's like the opposite of scare tactics, giving people hope where there is none. And like I said, this land is under treaty dispute right now, and I don't know who has the right of it, and I haven't done any. I haven't done anything, but they're saying that they're like, as stated all along, ETP and SXL are fully committed to ensuring that this vital project is brought to completion and fully expect to complete construction of the pipeline without any additional rerouting in and around Lake Oahe. And that's what Energy Transfer Partners wrote in a release after the announcement. Nothing this administration has done today changes that in any way. And this is manipulation. And I look at this stuff, and I look at the Bundys and their fight against the government in their various guises. And it's just it feels very manipulated. It really does. So remember, even though I'm not here to yell at you and rant, the truth is the most important thing. If you know the truth, you can stand against manipulation. If you know the truth, it's a lot more difficult to convince you to do things that are against the truth. And the point about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, tradition-wise, the point I was trying to make is that, yes, it's true that throughout human history, we have killed people who disagree with us to get our way. But the problem is that if the people you disagree with are telling you the truth, then you are harming yourself by killing them to get rid of them because they're standing in your way. That fence might not be there for your discomfiture. It may be there for your protection. Those traditions might be there for your protection. The whole homosexuality argument, that's a horribly, horribly unhealthy lifestyle. There should be traditions against it. There shouldn't be people encouraging others to take up that lifestyle. You should be discouraged from it because it's unhealthy, just like you should be discouraged from drug use and drug abuse. Not drug use if it's proper and medical, medicinal, but drug abuse, certainly you should be discouraged from that. The traditions are there as a fence for your protection. Now, let's see, in the show description, I said, if anyone's out there, call in and let's chat. And I have somebody, looks like on Skype. So I am going to open that microphone. Hello, are you here just to listen or are you here to rant with me?
Well, it sounds like a nice plan if we could do a bit of a rant.
Well, who are we talking to?
Just another internet traveler. So I tend to just, you know, rather just be anonymous.
Ah, well, would you like me to shut your mic off, or do you want to rant a little?
Well, it's rant. I mean, you know, you're talking about Standing Rock. You're talking about there are topics that we could go into quite deeply. I wouldn't mind. I think it's a good idea. Yeah, let's do that. You know, I just feel so frustrated just about every other day, because the reality is that a vast majority of people in general don't have enough time to be able to stop and think long enough to be able to get to any higher level of knowledge to be able to resist the type of manipulation that is occurring, and that's by design. So we can talk about it all we want, really, in general. And that's actually also a psychological mechanism for release. It's been shown in data that people being allowed to talk about their issues allows them to carry on and feel better about their circumstances, even though nothing has changed. Hence, talk radio. It's a great tool to be able to create that kind of apathy in people. But I mean, that's kind of a deep concept to get one's head around when we think that talk radio means freedom, but it doesn't necessarily mean freedom, especially not when the conversations are guided. And then, of course, the mass media, as well as general mainstream internet, is very much controlled in various ways. So, you know, it's a pretty melancholy experience when you start looking at the world from a sort of an asymmetric view, if I could call it that, asymmetric warfare, and you start to realize how much the cards are stacked against everyone.
Mm-hmm. And yet, here we have this wonderful nation. But since you're talking about that, and you've obviously thought about it and done a little study, what is it exactly that provides impetus for people to get up and do something? Like the people who
generally
have gotten
when,
up...
Well, look, I mean, unfortunately, because the system is, in general, in the Western world, and even if you look at the communist, if you want to call it the East or whatever, if you want to look at different other forms of governance, like the caste system of India, or you want to look at the communist China, etc., it's all just forms of government. It's all just sort of different experiments, I suppose you could call it. But in the communist world, you don't step out of line, because if you step too far out of line, you just get killed. So those people generally stay in line. There is no free speech, etc., and it works fairly well for as a control structure for certain powers that be. It works fairly well. They still get their output, and at the same time, they get enough people that are willing to do mundane work in the fields and that sort of thing. Everything's very well balanced. But you know what you don't get out of that is ingenuity, a lot of innovation. Most of the stuff in China is copied. And in the slightly more free countries, what you might call more free-range farms, there's a great video on YouTube about human farming, if you want to check it out. On the more free-range farms, you get, you know, interesting things happening, like innovation and so forth. But still, it's controlled innovation, so temporarily autonomous. So in other words, if you invent something, and it's able to help everyone, as long as it can be turned into a very good mousetrap, just like if you look at the electric cars that are coming out, it's fine, that can happen, but only to a certain extent, and only as oil starts to get phased out, not immediately, and only as other things start coming in. Like now you'll start having to pay for your supercharging on your stations if you get the new Model S or whatever it's called, the Model 3 that's coming out from Tesla. So it is part of a sort of a tiered system, and that's by design, because the natural order in a disorderly world is that the few control the many. And the reason for that is that people that are polarized into a very analytical and somewhat psychopathic form of thinking are naturally going to dominate the rest, especially when it's generational. And most people will never think that way, and therefore the pattern remains the same, because you're talking about generations coming out of cataclysm. Depending on how far back you want to look. That's at least my theory on it, based on the evidence that does exist. So the reality is that, I mean, the impetus that most people, what I was going to get to is that in the Western world, people are controlled through what's similar to a, it's like your nature reserve. It's a really big fenced-in prison. So you have plenty of space to roam, you have so a certain amount of autonomy, you're free to eat your McDonald's burger and your GMO food, etc. You're free to, if you want to, stick heroin in your arm to a certain extent. You know, there will be consequences, but they make provision for that as well. They, meaning people that design systems. So it's an ecosystem. And most people, the only impetus they have to actually really do something is when some kind of totalitarian, really bad thing is knocking on their door. And even then, only some people will do something, not everyone in aggregate, and the measurements get done to be able to make sure that when you look at the game theory of it, that there's always going to be a monopoly on force. That's why, you know, you might find that the U.S. at certain points in time, certain agencies buy millions and millions of rounds of ammo, make sure that they've got the best weapons, make sure that they control the military through various forms of compartmentalization. It's all very scientific. So the reality is that the average person is stuck against a scientific dictatorship, really. And there is no easy out. You can try and move to a more sovereign country. That's pretty much the only option. Otherwise, you just kind of ignore it, put your head down, and do the best that you can. But the impetus is when somebody's knocking on your door to try and kill you. That's when you grab the kitchen knife and get shot by the semi-automatic weapon, if they're coming to kill you. That's when most people will stand up and try and fight, when their life is directly threatened. Otherwise, there's plenty of television channels to watch. There's plenty of things to go and do. There's plenty of vices, alcohol, drugs. Pick your poison. There's plenty, and that's by design, to make sure that there's enough to distract people so that the average person will never rise up. And it's scientifically managed. It's actually brilliantly managed in terms of control systems, if you think about it.
I have thought about it, and I was just watching an interview with two people who escaped from North Korea, and that's exactly what it is. They did not take the chance to try and escape until they felt like they were going to be killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me. And they said if you disagree with the government or if you do this or do that, they just kill you. And I don't know if you were here for the beginning of the show, but what I started out saying is that I was watching Ken Abramowitz, good heavens, I'm so bad at names, on YouTube, and he was saying that you can't just kill people, you can't just kill everybody who disagrees with you, but that's pretty much how the human race has done things throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have a different question for you. What do you think people would do with themselves without these manipulative systems called governments?
Well, this is the sad thing, because you see, at one point in Europe, there wasn't a main overarching government, even though it's only now being implemented as the European Union. If we look at Europe as one of the best examples, because it's in the West, it's the thing that we have the most history about recently. You know, we could go back into Chinese dynasties and that sort of thing if we wanted to, or into India, but the best point of reference that we have in our timeline, as most people know it, is Europe. So if you go back to the feudal lords and you go back to the times of various infighting, people pretty much still killed each other. It was just more diversified. It wasn't one massive, overarching, very secretive group of people in general that were manipulating everything from behind the scenes. At certain points, there were different groups that had already lived together for hundreds of years, and they fought with each other. As soon as one group decided, let's go and attack those people over there, then the other group had to retaliate. And it's the same thing as with World War II. Although coming into World War II, there were very many secret groups behind the scenes already planning things. So that's going into the time of what you could call proxy warfare. But when it was just the feudal lords fighting over lands in, for example, England, it was very much more simplified. It was pretty much just people just fighting with each other. So if you go to an anarchist, that's a sad thing about statistics and anarchy. I mean, people love to say anarchists, for example, which anarchy isn't necessarily a bad thing if you think about just self-determination, but it is the Wild West. At some point, somebody else is going to shoot somebody else in a place that's got, you know, not very good governance. It all depends on how good the governance is in any area, but then that naturally evolves or adapts or can move towards very overarching big governments as well. So, you know, unless there's generally plenty of people, almost like one-to-one ratio, that somebody is always taking a turn to watch what's going on and manage it efficiently. Humans, it only takes one person to stand up and become tyrannical and get a bunch of other people to follow them, and therefore this whole cycle repeats again. So certain people out there have figured out, very clever people, have figured out how to hide behind the scenes, control things from behind the scenes, and therefore, because they always remain hidden and everybody else is fighting with each other, with them sort of controlling a lot of resources and giving them to the different groups that want to fight with each other, and then taking the spoils once they've finished fighting with each other, they always float on the top while everybody else is on the bottom.
It's an interesting worldview. Where's your hope?
Hope? Well, I suppose I could say hope is only an ingenuity. Because at any time in history, you always find that the people that are the most innovative are the ones that do float on the top or rise to the top or at least survive.
All right. Well said, and thank you for joining me. I've got 5 minutes left, so I'm going to mute your mic now, but thank you again for joining me. And Bigfoot in the chat room has asked if this is Andrew from South Africa.
Does Bigfoot work for the National Security Agency?
I have no idea.
Okay, tell him I said hi. I can't get into the chat room for some reason.
All right.
Or her, or whoever Bigfoot is. It's...
You're on your own with that one. All right, I will mute you now. And
bye.
At least I think I will. Okay. Didn't mute you, so I'll just expect your cooperation as I finish out the show on a nice note here. And that nice note is an article from Waite.com. It's W-A-T-E.com. It's looks like an ABC affiliate. And for those who have been paying attention, there's been horrible, horrible fires just destroying Gatlinburg and in Tennessee. And a lot of people have been put out of their homes, and their homes have been destroyed, and they're getting back now because they had some rain, and I think that's put most of the fires out. But this article says that Dolly Parton's The Dollywood Foundation announced Wednesday, and this article is dated November 30th, so a couple weeks ago, announced Wednesday it would be giving $1,000 a month for 6 months to families who lost everything in the wildfire. And you know, that may not sound like a lot to somebody who's lost everything they have. It's been burned to the ground, and who knows if they have insurance or not, and you know, and who knows if they'll even have jobs because their place of business or their employer may have been burned out. So these people are, some of these people are in pretty dire straits, and the Dollywood Foundation has come out and said they're going to give this money to people for 6 months, and what a wonderful thing to do. I just cannot even tell you how wonderful that sounds to me. And that is the point. Yes, Vito says, coincidence in Tennessee, Mom, same as terror fires in Israel. It could be. We don't know. But that's the point of being a businessman and making money. That is the point of making money, so that you have enough so that when it's needed, you can help somebody else. And I know that the current narrative is that all businessmen are just greedy pigs who want what they want, and they don't care about you or their employees or anything. But that's not the truth. The truth is, when you want to make something or you want to produce something and you can't do it by yourself because so many people want it, which it means, you know, that's a good thing. You're providing a service. Quite frankly, I don't think providing illegal drugs is providing a service, but it's a business nonetheless. But you are providing a service that people want. And when it's gotten so that so many people want it that you can't provide it by yourself, then you negotiate with other people for their time and talents and skills to help you. And so if an employee is not getting paid enough, that's because they have not negotiated enough. They have accepted the wage they were offered. That's not the fault of the employer. That doesn't make the employer greedy. Business is a good thing, and the point of it is to make money, make a profit, so that when you want to, you have money to give to those who need it. At least that's my opinion, and that's my last thought for my last show. Thank you for joining me, both in the chat room and on air. We're all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we are all supposed to. So y'all get out there. Have a great week. I don't know when I'm coming back, but I probably will after I take a bit of a vacation. Find your spot. Make a difference. Even if it's just joining me in my daily call to my legislator demanding the impeachment of Mr. Obama over Benghazi, which I've been doing every day, not weekends or holidays, because I'm civilized, since Benghazi. Join me in that effort, because even though he's going out, he still needs to be impeached. Y'all have a great week. Thanks.